Greetings. Welcome to all listening. Have you ever bought the farm? What are the biblical rules of gun theft? What are good and bad biblical interest rates? Should one be circumcised on the Sabbath? Today, we're going to address seven modern applications of Old Testament laws and teachings. Today's message is entitled, Applying Old Testament Today, Part 2. Applying Old Testament Today, Part 2. In today's first of seven examples, you've decided to buy a working farm. You bought the farm. In what order should you develop your new farm? First, of course, verify that it's good. Then, let's turn to the Old Testament principle in Proverbs 24:27. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. We need to address our needs with priority before our wants. We don't want to spend for outward show or comforts before preparing first for our income. Better to be content with modest housing initially, rather than to make undue decisions and go into unwise debt. We want to defer our wants and luxuries till after our income is properly established. Then we may properly afford same. Second example. You decide to plant a fruit orchard of seedling trees. Do we give first fruits the first year? Answer, no. Leave it be. Fourth year. Answer, give the whole harvest as an offering to God. Let's turn to Leviticus 19:23-25. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23-25. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten. But the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to the Lord. In the fifth year, you may eat of its fruit, that it may yield to you its increase. I am the Lord your God. Nelson's Study Bible says, the harvest of the fourth year was kind of a first fruits. Wycliffe's commentary says, the fourth year was to be dedicated to the Lord as an offering of thanksgiving. K&D commentary says, in the fourth year, the whole of the fruit was to be a holiness of praise for God, that is, to be offered to the Lord as a holy sacrificial gift in praise and thanksgiving for the blessing which he had bestowed upon the fruit trees. fifth year? Answer, it's yours. Seventh year? Answer, it's yours. Land Sabbath does not apply, but do tithe every year. Third example. You have a baby boy on a Friday. Since the eighth day would fall on the Sabbath, should you have him circumcised on that Friday before the Sabbath, or that day which is Sabbath, or wait until Monday, or have it day done on the day that he's born? We note in Acts chapter 15 that circumcision is not required. It's a physical matter. Let's turn to see what Jesus said. John 7, verse 22 and 23. John 7, verses 22 and 23. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. You circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? From this scripture, we see it's okay to circumcise on the eighth day, if it is on the Sabbath. Fourth example, your 16-year-old steals a handgun valued at $100 from a neighbor. He hides it under his bed, and you find it. What course of action should be taken? Answer, the gun should be returned plus an additional $100. Let's turn to Exodus 22, verses 1 to 4. Exodus 22, verses 1 to 4. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox, four sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Verse 3, if the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. Double. While wealth in biblical times consisted chiefly in animals, the principle is still the same. But why five times for an ox? We may note that an ox was a trained work animal of much greater value than an untrained animal. There is loss for the time and cost in training by the owner over a period of time. Matthew Henry says, the owner lost the daily labor of his ox. Keel says, the law makes a distinction between what had been killed or sold and what was still alive in the thief's hand or possession. Now, as long as he still retained the stolen animal in his own possession, having neither consumed nor parted with it, this was always in his power, but the possibility was gone as soon as it had either been consumed or sold. four sheep for a sheep. There is training and familiarity over time. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus Christ says, "I know my sheep and am known by my own, and they will hear my voice." Wycliffe says, "The shepherd and sheep know and have affection for each other." Matthew Henry says they have familiarity with recognition similar to dogs and horses. It is needful to repent and undo what was stolen. Let's look at Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector. Let's turn to Luke 19, verse 8. Luke 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Fifth example, same handgun situation, except that the thief was smitten by conscience afterwards and voluntarily confessed and returned the gun before he was discovered or inquiry made. Answer: he should restore what was stolen and add 1/5 or 20% to it. Let's turn to this. Leviticus 6, verses 4 and 5. Leviticus 6, verses 4 and 5. "Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its full value, add 1/5 more to it, and give it to whoever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering." Once in my lifetime, I've seen this scripture applied. At Ambassador College, Pasadena, decades ago, some locker room theft occurred. The guilty party confessed and repented. An announcement was made at forum that people who had stuff stolen could go to the Dean of Students' office and retrieve their losses plus 1/5. To me, it was and still is impressive. Sixth example, a fellow church member has fallen on hard times. You can loan him some money to get by for a while. Should you charge your brother interest, say, at bank rates? Answer: no. Let's turn to Exodus 22, verse 25. Exodus 22, verse 25. "If you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, You shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. Seventh, last example. A fellow church member has developed a surefire business. If you will loan him $20,000 to go with his $50,000, he can start the business. Should you charge your brother interest? Answer, yes, but avoid doing this. Many relationships have been badly hurt by such an arrangement. So, in conclusion, here we are. We've seen seven interesting examples of the application of some Old Testament laws and teachings. God loves justice, and thankfully, He gives us good laws to live by in peace.